Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about hard words of comfort. It's a few what I feel like are astounding verses about Jesus that have so much wrapped into them.
Well, it's found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30, and it amplifies the fact that Jesus counted on his relationship with his Father for everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had friends, he had followers, he had acquaintances, he had all the different kinds of relationships. He had people that hated him. But in all of that, the only one he could trust completely was his Father. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's kind of striking. It makes you feel like, what a lonely life, you know, in the sense that you couldn't trust humanity.
But we're in the same place.
Yeah,
well, I mean, we really are. It just feels like he was alone, and he was alone because he was going to bear all of our sin. But it's the only one we really have to turn to also.
Well, it's interesting, too, and this is amplified in the book of Hebrews. It's hard to imagine being 100% God and 100% man and what that would be like. You know, and Jesus went through processes, normal human processes, to come to where he did by the time he was 30, when it was time for his public ministry. And that's a mystery to me. You know, what did he know? When did he know it?
Right.
How did it impact when he knew it? I just don't know. I mean, I don't think...
Was he born knowing he was God? No, he couldn't have been, because then he wouldn't have been fully man.
And was he talking it 1 week, you know? Uh-huh. I don't think so.
No.
He went through the process.
He had to be trained.
Right, right. And be in subjection, like that one passage talks about, to his parents. But this is interesting, because as we go into this passage in Matthew 11, this is very poignant when it comes to what we're talking about. Hebrews chapter 5, in the days of his flesh, it's talking about Jesus, he offered up both prayers and requests with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission.
And this is one of the packed verses that I was talking about, because in just a few words, you know, I just feel like it's easy to miss sometimes the meaning, because there is so much packed into one voice or one verse. We talk about loud crying and tears, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. So in that, he must have been crying out in pain. He obviously wept because of sadness and aching, because that's why we cry. And he was heard in the midst of all of that because he honored God, because of his submission to God.
Well, and that word supplication is used there too. So he was making requests. So what kinds of things? I mean, when you were the Son of God, what kinds of things were you praying about? I mean, think about that. That's just pretty breathtaking. And it's another one of those questions that I want to understand more about when I'm face to face. Also, at the end of this, it says one able to save him from death. I think sometimes we forget that, you know, Jesus had all power, but he didn't choose to use all of his power. And he did have to surrender himself to death and be in the grave. So that means that the Father, he had to wait upon his Father to save him from death and to resurrect him.
And that's 1,000,002 questions. It's like, did he know going in? I mean, did he, as a man, did he go in knowing that he would have to endure that? And still, did he have any doubts? Did he? I mean, he had to go into that blind a little bit, because he was still man
and
instead of God.
And that's the mix that we just don't understand. But, you know, that's why, like it talks about in Hebrews, he's the author and he is the finisher or the perfecter of our faith. So he was totally unique among human beings, but he was still a human being. And then this part too, he was heard. God heard him because of his, and I think I took this out of the NIV when I was translating it, reverent submission. He was heard because of his reverent submission. What a picture of what it was like for Jesus to live. So I want to talk a little bit about his experiences as he began to teach and explain this about his relationship with the Father. And this is actually a prayer that is recorded in Matthew chapter 11. And it says, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him.
Yeah, this whole invitation, how God or how Jesus invites people, it just sets everything upside down, it seems like. You know, when we invite people to something, we usually consider who is interesting or fun or who can hold their own. They're not overly dependent. I don't know. Our culture just tends to care about the beautiful people, you know, the cool people, the smart people,
the rich
people.
Yeah, people like you and I,
Bernadette. Yeah. But this verse says he conceals or he hides these things from people who only care about that. And God just doesn't care about that stuff. He only cares about the internal.
Well, and it's interesting, too. This is really insightful in his relationship with the Father. All things have been handed over to me by the Father, so he's given me authority. No one knows the Son except the Father. So, I mean, that would be a breathtaking thing to say to your disciples, the people around you. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And so he's appealing back to the eternal relationship. And this is something that is often, lost in the whole religious explanation of who Jesus is, because he created the world. He made the world. So the Father and Son have always been together. We know that the Son emerged or proceeded out of the Father, but he was there creating the world. So this is a very interesting relationship that I think we have no idea.
Yeah, it's easy because we put so much emphasis at Christmas on the birth of Jesus that somehow, I don't know, even if we know that he was there at the beginning, it's easy to think that somehow he began at Christmas.
Right. Because that makes sense to us, mm-hmm. logical sense, but biblical sense weaves a lot more into that understanding. Mm-hmm. You know, it's impossible to know God apart from knowing his Son, and to have insight into our Creator Father, we have to access him through the eternal relationship between Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. And I think that is difficult for us to grasp, both because of our pride, but as well as the situation we find ourselves in. And the theos of this is really deep. But look at the result. You know, when you know the Father through the Son, you receive rest. Mm-hmm. You receive freedom. And that's the key to having a satisfied mind, is rest and freedom. And when you think about that, when a heart is truly set free, it's because it's at rest, because we know that we know the Father because of what Jesus has done for us.
Yeah, I think that's what I was going to say, that Jesus wants us to know God because God has made him the only path to get to him.
This then leads into a very familiar passage, mm-hmm. That Jesus spoke, and I have thought about this over and over again. Come to me, all who are weary and weighed down, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to read it out of another version, because I think this is such a restful, peaceful, encouraging passage when you're in those times of feeling like, I can't do this another day.
Right.
You know, you look at your life.
Which happens to everyone.
Yeah, so you become weary. You just look at it and you think, I can't do this another day. Out of the message, it says, are you tired? Worn out, burned out on religion, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. I think that's awesome. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly.
I was looking at this word yoke because I've heard it taught, and I've taught it this way myself too, the idea that the yoke is like the yoke of an oxen or whatever. Mm-hmm. You take on the load, but I was looking at it, and it's not really an apparatus to pull a load when you look at the original language. It's much better interpreted a pair of scales. So it is a yoke as far as putting it on, but it's like putting God's scales upon our shoulders, and it's all about weighing and discerning, and that's the very thing that Jesus wants to do for us, and he's basically saying that my yoke is easy and my burden is light, because He has weighed all things, mm-hmm. and he knows the truth about everything. And that's, I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, and he doesn't ever promise that he'll take away difficult assignments. I think that's what it's saying when it says ill-fitting. He won't give you anything ill-fitting. He doesn't take away the long-term assignments or the road that he gives us, but he'll give us the rest that we need to be refreshed for the continuation and conclusion of the journey. And so it seems like when we've given all we have and there's still a lot to be done, we can take a break and go to Jesus for supernatural refreshing.
So, you know, as you're listening today, three questions come to my mind related to kingdom questions. What does it mean to be weary and weighed down? What is his yoke? And what does it mean to be at rest? Because there's kind of a logic through this whole passage. And I guess I asked the question, how does a person sort through apparent complexity and access simplicity? So when I look at that, I go, what does it mean to be weary and weighed down? I think you've described it really well. We encounter things in life that just kind of, the weight of them just carries us down. You know, some of us are stronger than others in different situations, but mm-hmm. it's that weight that comes upon us.
And I think when you read magazines or read things online, the encouragement when you're at that point in life is to, you know, slow down, to exercise, take time for yourself, to meditate, not necessarily on God, but to meditate. And it's like we're being encouraged to find something within ourselves
right.
to make us strong. And God's saying just the opposite. You're not going to find it there. You're only going to find it when you ask me to do it for you.
Well, and he says, when you take my yoke upon mm-hmm. you. So there's a decision there to take those scales, to take that responsibility for looking at the world through God's eyes. And when you place those on, he basically says that it's a light burden because I'm going to carry it.
He's carrying it, yeah.
That is
what
so
a relief.
Cool. Oh, it really is. Well, when we're at rest, we receive refreshment. And, you know, when you think about personal internal health, like you were just describing, it really comes from knowing that you're in the right relationship with God and then consequently with the people around you. This kind of upward refreshing lifts us to places that we wouldn't naturally go. And that's why Jesus's words are hard words of comfort. And that's kind of where we started today.
Like a severe mercy.
Yeah.
It's merciful, but you still have to live through it. Sometimes it's just really hard.
Yeah. And we literally must find peace in life through the portal of personal faith. And that's what the whole, I mean, and go back to what we started out with. That's what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
In the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers with loud crying and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. And that's encouraging too, because, you know, Jesus isn't asking us to do anything that he hasn't already
right.
shouldered.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, you know, I go back often to the book of Hebrews because for some reason the author to the Hebrews had a lot of things figured out. the idea that Jesus is our great high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses because he was tempted in all points, always, as we are. Yet he was found without sin. And that's not the kind of thing where, I was found without sin. It's like he took the yoke upon himself, and he overcame mm-hmm. the power of sin. Can you imagine living a sinless existence?
No.
Talk about getting worn out from a human perspective. You know, sin is wearing enough. Oh, boy. Forestream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life, something that Bernadette and I have spent a lot of time trying to understand, trying to embrace. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to Forestream.com and click on the old radio button.
Together, we're finding hope at Forestream.com.